You're with Radio National Summer Breakfast. Waleed Ali with you here through till 8:30. Time for our weekly look at books. And every week we're picking a different genre. We're speaking to someone who's involved and interested in that genre, and they pick their best book or two of 2011. Angela Savage joins me this week. She's a Melbourne-based crime fiction writer, and she's picked two novels from 2011 to discuss. Good morning. Thanks
Good
for coming
morning,
in.
Good morning,
Waleed. Now, before we get to the specific books,
yes.
Crime fiction as a genre.
What's not to love?
Well, everyone loves it, though.
This
is
do.
The thing. It's really taking off, and not just in literature, but on television especially. It's huge.
Absolutely. And yet, within the genre, there are so many subgenres or variations, it's even hard for me to think of it as a genre in itself.
Oh, hang on a minute. Is this one of those things where you make up names for genres that don't exist?
No, I think, but I really do think there are different, you know, the police procedural is insanely popular, both in terms of television and fiction in Australia. And I have my own theory about that, that I think it goes back to our convict pasts and our fascination with our oppressors. But,
that's interesting.
But there are others like me who, generally speaking, I would choose a detective novel over a police procedural any day, although I do read.
Oh, so that's how you divide
genres. Oh, but then within that, you can divide it into.
So hang on, how do you divide those genres? Is it done departmentally? Or is it to do with writing style? Or how do you come up with these different subgenres?
Look, I think that's a really interesting question, and I think it's a very contested space that no one has a very direct answer
this
for.
This is you avoiding the question. Come on.
No, look, I think there are kind of a recognised subgenres around police procedurals, detective fiction, a hard-boiled, which tend to be a kind of bit more in-your-face, blood and guts. Mm. There's the thriller subgenre. There's tarte noir, which is a kind of feminist chick fiction, crime fiction.
As in, so it's a feminist form of literature?
Well, it sort of tends to have feisty women as central characters. Tartan noir, which is the Scottish.
Hang on.
And I've even heard Peter Temple, well, not that I forgive him for this, but I've heard him use the term kanga noir to describe Australian noir fiction, but I think we really need to do better than that.
Yeah, right. But it's quite a populist genre, isn't it?
And absolutely.
And so do you feel there's a bit of snobbery towards it? You know, people who, that's not real literature.
Do you know, I've never thought of it. And I think that I've never thought of it that way myself. And I think there's been so much new ground broken in the last decade in particular with novels like Truth winning the Miles Franklin and others like a couple of the ones I'm going to talk about today that have been longlisted and shortlisted for major literary prizes outside of just the crime genre. I think it's a really interesting and exciting time for crime. And I think one of the reasons it's so popular is because it has a plot and people, at the end of the day, like a good old-fashioned story.
Are you suggesting that reality TV is not a good thing, that this is some kind of experiment that's doomed to fail?
Well, Ed, I'm one of those chattering classes who doesn't watch TV. I watch DVDs.
All right.
That are well written. I'm a script person, you know. I like things that are well written.
I didn't think they had script writers anymore.
Oh, yeah. Just they're tucked away.
Yeah, right.
And in Australia, I think they've only worked on the slap in the last 12 months. But apart from that.
That did well.
Yeah, it did very well.
It did very well. All right. So let's get to your books. You've chosen two. Where do we want to start? Should we start with The Good Daughter?
Sure. Good Daughter, I loved this book. I read it in 2 days, which is extremely unusual for me, just given all the other things that happen in my life.
And let me just give some perspective.
Sure.
I'm just looking at it now. That's 292 pages.
Yes. I stayed home on a Friday night, sat in the backyard with a glass of wine and that book and just read it.
Books as entertainment?
Loved it.
Wow.
Written by the deliciously named Honey Brown, who's based in regional Victoria
it's
herself.
Not a real name, is it?
It is her real name.
Really?
And, you know, the irony is that I think her publisher originally suggested that it's very fashionable at the moment for women writers to publish under their initials,
okay.
So H.M. Brown,
yep.
Because of this alleged bias around, you know, who reads what.
Mm.
And I think maybe one of her early books did come out as H.M. Brown, and then someone said, you know, with a name like Honey Brown, in terms of the beautiful contrast between the dark subject matter, it's just perfect.
You'll remember that name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you remember The Good Daughter if you read it.
Absolutely.
I dipped into it, and the thing that struck me immediately was it was written very plainly.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't say it's, you know, high literature, high, you know, flowery prose, that kind of thing. Really directly written. And quite pacey because of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Although I think the writing is quite beautiful as well, in a very as you say, a very kind of stark way.
In a direct way.
Yeah, it's not purple prose at all. Mm. And in a way, that's a reflection of the kind of landscape, I think, that the book is set in. It's, you know, she evokes a very fly-blown, dark, harsh, a place that simmers with heat and tension. Mm. And I really enjoyed that about the book. I think that there's a real insider's insight into rural Victoria or rural Australia in that book. Mm. Tiny little touches, very light, that just suggest it's written by someone who really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a natural connection.
Yes.
Hey, you know how you mentioned plot before and how it's a good thing?
Yes.
We should probably talk about that. So take us through the plot.
Well, plots are hard to talk about with crime genre because you want to avoid spoilers. Yeah. And with this book in particular, it's actually... I don't want to give too much away talking about plot. Really, the book is a lot about relationships. The good daughter of the title is Rebecca Toyer. She's a 16-year-old from the wrong side of the tracks, whose love interest, Zach Kincaid, is from the right side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. And it's Romeo and Juliet, basically.
Quite. But when Zach's mum goes missing, Rebecca's implicated in her disappearance. And the disappearance of Zach's mother's sort of exposes a whole lot of small town secrets and, you know, sexual hypocrisy and you know, deceit and all kinds of other stuff that's been simmering beneath the surface. And it's a bit of, you know, some reviewers have said it probably fits in with the coming of age kind of genre in Australian literature as much as crime. It's probably a borderline call. Even Honey herself says she thinks of her books as psychological thrillers probably more so than crime. But look, for me, in any genre, I thought this was a terrific book.
Yeah, but they're a similar thing, aren't they? Psychological thriller and crime. I mean, yeah. There'd be huge overlap between those two, wouldn't it?
Well, it all depends on how you look at it. I think in some crime, there is a very strong part of the crime fiction genre which looks at the individual as the site of all evil and as the site of the crime itself.
Yes.
And then there's other books, including my own, that look more at the structural determinants of crime and the politics behind, you know, the context and what's sort of informing the individual. So there is a slightly different twist.
You're placing this book in that category, aren't you?
I would say more in the in the psychological thriller. But what I loved about it is the way that the relationships with the teenagers in particular play out and the kind of malevolence and misogyny that underpins relationships between teenage boys and girls in Australian society.
And
that was awesome.
And the sexual tension that simmers around.
Absolutely. That's quite an erotic book, and it's the fact that she manages to depict the eroticism of sex and also the sexual intimidation so effectively, I think, is a really great measure of her as a writer.
Well, describing it as erotic, you've just caused another 1,000 sales. That's The Good Daughter by Honey Brown, published by Penguin on the Viking imprint. Your second choice, The Digger's Rest Hotel, this is a very different book.
It is. And I think I'm being most gracious in recommending this book since it pipped my own, The Half-Child, to the Ned Kelly Award for Best First Book this year.
Yeah, right. But should have chosen your own.
Yeah. That's right. No, look, Geoffrey McGeachin's book it's a stunning work because there's so much happening in this book. It's really well written. The characters are great. It's set in a really interesting time and place in Australia. It's just after the Second World War, and it's set in Albury, Wodonga, which is, in fact, where my mother was born. So I've got quite a kind of emotion invested in that region. Mm. But what I think is so clever about this book is that it's, at another level, it's really about the impact of war. And war sits like a cloak on everyone.
Well,
in this
the
story.
Second World War, especially.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this a crime novel, or is this a war?
This
novel?
Is a police.
What's it actually
this
about?
This is a police procedural. Mm. But I think it is actually about the impact of war, and I think that's why I loved it so much. There are moments of heartbreaking poignancy in this, and yet it's also a really entertaining read. Mm. Geoffrey himself endeared himself to everyone at the Ned Kelly Awards this year because he was such a top bloke and, you know, he thanked his wife for showing him that violence is sometimes an answer. And, I mean, he had us all laughing in the aisles.
But, wow.
And I think his character, Charlie Berlin, is quite, there's parallels between Geoffrey's character and Charlie's character. He's a really decent human being. Mm. And it's because he's so decent that that what happens to him as a result of the war and what happens to the people around him and how he negotiates that becomes so heartbreaking in its finale, actually.
And isn't sort of that post-World War II moment such a great place to put a thoroughly decent character?
Yeah. Like
it's just that it's evocative of that, well, of my imagination of that time.
Yeah.
And I found the writing was interesting because it's very direct, again. Mm. But I don't know, there was something about it immediately placed me in that era.
Mm. I think he does a brilliant job of evoking the era without it being twee and without it being distracting.
Yeah.
I also think he's a master of the show don't tell, particularly when it comes to men's emotions. That's one of the number one challenges in crime writing is to show and not tell, so that the reader can make their own conclusions about the characters and even the plots unfolding. And Jeffrey does that brilliantly, particularly with men and the difficulty men have in expressing their emotions.
Angela Savage, thanks so much for coming in. Angela Savage, Melbourne-based crime writer, with two of her favourite reads for 2011. The Digger's Rest Hotel by Jeffrey McEachin and The Good Daughter by the wonderfully named Honey Brown.